The last year or so has brought with it many trials for lots of God's people, and we sure have had our share of them. But during these trials, there have been several verses that have been a great comfort to me personally, and also to many others that I've spoken to. What I'd like to do today is to look at another one of these short, well-known, and often paraphrased verses. This one can be found in 1 Peter in chapter 5. I suggest you put a finger in there because we will be coming back to it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Just taking this at face value, it's hard to comprehend that the one who upholds the entire universe cares for us, and that we can cast our cares upon him. But as we'll go on to see, as always with scripture, there is so much more to it. When studying a scripture, a good starting point is to ask four simple questions. Who, what, when, and why? In the process, invariably, further questions come up, like where and how. So let's start with the what. The Greek word translated as care is Strong's number 3308, and translated in many translations as anxiety or worries. The root meaning of the word is more to do with distractions, those things that take our eyes off where we are going and lead us off track. These are the things that lead to becoming unglued, as Mr. Bowles explained in a sermon we heard recently. The word translated as casting from the Greek literally means to throw, which is Strong's number 1977. Throwing something is proactive. It's not a passive thing. It requires some effort on our part. Another interesting point to note here is that you can't throw something without letting go. When we throw or cast our cares, our worries, our anxieties to God, we have to let go of them. For completeness, the word translated as careth in the second part of the verse is 3199 in Strong's, and literally means concern in an individual way. So pulling all that together, we have to completely hand over our worries and anxieties to God, because he is personally concerned for us. So who is this passage being directed at? Well, let's go back to the start of the chapter and we'll read a little bit of the context. Starting in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So that's quite clear, this only applies to the ministry. Well, not quite. Although the word used here for an elder can figuratively mean a senior in rank or office, it literally means senior or older in years. So that widens the scope a little bit. But just to cap it off, carrying on in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Again, the word for the younger literally means young in age, but it can also be translated as new. So this could be taken as referring to the length of time in the faith. Either way, it is clear that Peter is addressing the entire congregation here. But why must we cast all our cares on God? Well, let's carry on reading verse 5 from where we left off. Yea, all of you submit one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In several translations, there's a comma at the end of verse 6, meaning that verses 6 and 7 should be read as a single sentence. But in the King James Version, there is a colon. Now, for a quick English lesson, a colon introduces an element or series of elements that illustrate or amplify the information that precedes the colon. So verse 7 illustrates or amplifies the information in verse 6. When we read this passage, the focus is on the fact that we all need to humble ourselves before God, because he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, and we humble ourselves by casting all our cares on God. I'm sure most of the men here or listening have probably experienced the moment when either in a shop or perhaps out on the road, it becomes apparent that you really don't know where you are, where you're going, or where to find something, when a soft voice from your well-meaning wife will say something along the lines of, "Well, we could ask someone." If you're anything like me, then that just hardens your resolve, and sometimes your persistence or stubbornness, depending on your viewpoint, pays off. But invariably, the time comes when you have to concede defeat and ask someone. It's hard to admit that we can't do something and that we need help. Our pride gets in the way. We don't tend to get anxious about things that we can do, or even things that we have control over. Instead, we become anxious about the things we can't do or have no control over. Admitting that and handing our worries and anxiety to God is humbling. But the reward for doing so is immense. God gives his grace to the humble. The problem with anxiety, worries, or cares is that they blind us, a bit like a rabbit startled in the headlights of a car. The cares of this world can distract us to the point of blindness. The word translated cares is only used 5 other times in the Bible, the first 3 being used in the explanation of the parable of the sower. So let's read the first time it is used in Matthew 13, keeping your finger in 1 Peter. In Matthew 13, as this highlights just how important it is to avoid being blinded by the cares of this world. In Matthew 13, we start reading verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heard the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received the seed amongst the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares or distractions of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit and brings forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So we've looked at the what, the who, and the why. What about the when? If we go back to 1 Peter 5, we'll carry on reading from verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion, forever and ever. Amen." Although these words have always applied to God's people, as we get closer and closer to the end of this age, it is increasingly more important that we cast our cares on God. Satan might dress himself up as a cute, cuddly little devil with an almost playful, mischievous face, especially at this time of year. But he is walking around as a roaring lion, an outcast male with no pride of his own and no real chance of getting one. So he is just out to kill and destroy. One of the other places the word cares is used also highlights the importance for us in this end time, and that can be found in Luke 21. In Luke 21, and we'll read verses 34 through 36. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on you all, that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. If we allow the cares of this world, along with the worries and anxieties that it creates, to overcome us, we could lose out on our calling. Well, that's quite a lot of information and meaning from one short verse. But to try and sum it up, God essentially wants us all to humbly hand over to Him the things that we can't do, to stop them from distracting us from the things that we can and should do. Mr. Armstrong puts it this way in chapter 6 of the Healing Booklet. God does for us, often by miracle, that which we are unable to do. God gave man talents, physical mind powers, and abilities that He intended us to use and develop under His guidance, and always for His glory, and toward our development in the holy, righteous character of God. To this end, God intends man to excel and improve, but never in a way to inflate vanity or detract from reliance on the trust in God. We must rely on God for guidance, even in what we are made able to do for ourselves. Growing up in the church, we would often hear this worded as, pray as if it all depends on God, and then graft like it all depends on you. There's just one other point I would like to share, and that's from a personal experience. Several years ago, we were visiting, my wife and I, a very close friend, helping her clear some things out, and as usually happens, the job took a little bit longer than expected, and we didn't set off until much later than we had planned. Unfortunately, we were running low on fuel by the time we had arrived, and the plan had been to fill up before setting off back over the mountains to where we were staying. By the time we finally set off, it was dark. The fuel warning light had been on for some time, and the filling station we had planned on using was shut. We stopped and prayed that we could please find an open filling station and set off again. After several miles, we pulled into a filling station that was open, only to find that it only served trucks. So we asked another prayer that we could find a filling station that was open and that we could use. And then we set off. To cut a long story a bit shorter, the next station only had diesel and we needed petrol. The next one was an automated one that wouldn't accept our bank card. The next one had been closed by the police and we had to follow a rather lengthy diversion. Each time the prayer would get a little longer, and to say we were getting a bit anxious would be a bit of an understatement. Then we finally came into town and there was a filling station with the right fuel that was quite happy to take our cash, much to our relief. It was only when we started the engine again that we noticed that the trip fuel consumption had been well over 180 miles to the gallon. In that car, the best I'd ever got was 35, and that was cruising on the motorway. On a mountain road, I would have expected closer to 25. God sure did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. But there was another lesson we learned that day. We had been so focused on our solution, finding a filling station, that we had overlooked a miracle being performed right in front of us. Sometimes when we pray, we don't give God all the care. We think we've got it mostly sorted and we just need God's help on this one little bit. When we hold back in giving God all the care, we're not being humble as we need to be. God wants us to throw Him all our care, like you would throw a ball, not like throwing a boomerang. We can't hold or take any back. So now, more than ever, is the time to completely hand over our worries to God, because He is personally concerned for each and every one of us.